Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Here. Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
If I had a dime for every time I came into the studio a little sleep deprived because of Taylor Swift, I would have two dimes, which is not a lot of dimes, but it is a little annoying that it's happened twice. Last night was the New Heights / Taylor Swift episode where she got to announce TS12, The Life of a Showgirl, at the end of the podcast. But like 90 minutes of this podcast purely is about her personal life, her career, how she met Travis. And we got so many firsthand accounts of just what it's been like for them for the last 2 years to be in this highly publicized relationship. And the way they talk about each other, like if you don't believe in love, this is going to make you believe in love.
Right. So as a top tier Swiftie, Abby, watching the entire 2 hour podcast on a scale of 1 to 10 with the expectations you had watching this interaction between them, did it live up to them? Or were you a little let down with how much information you got, et cetera? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilled were you from this podcast episode?
Well, I will never be fulfilled until I'm sitting across from them at a dinner table, getting to hear every detail of their relationship. So I'll give them a 9. Okay. But a 9 is still pretty high considering it was a 2 hour podcast, because I'm sitting there thinking, oh, this is going to be like an hour 15. They're going to talk about their relationship for a little bit. And then we're going to get a little bit of TS12. And then we're going to go night night. And then I'm looking at the Spotify timestamps and I'm like, this is a 2 hour podcast.
All right. Now ask me the same question. And I don't mean to poop on this, but let's see. Okay, because I'm not a Swiftie, but I was sure.
Yes, you are. You just got inducted yesterday by Abby.
That's right.
You're okay. Part of the knighthood.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think I'm giving it back. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, so Bert, as a newly anointed Swiftie, watching the New Heights podcast featuring Taylor Swift as the guest, as far as your expectations go, when you watched it with what kind of information you got, the interaction between Travis and Taylor, Were you a 10 or were you a 1 as far as how fulfilled you were from the information?
4.5 to 5. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm into Taylor as much as Abby and Swifties are. So every detail of the tour is going to be interesting to Abby and Swifties. Every logistical thing is really what I was there for, was to see the interaction with them, to get insight into their relationship. That's all I was there for last night. And I did get some of that. So I'll say 5. But overall, after about an hour, I bailed because I'm like, oh, man, they're talking about sourdough bread.
I talked about sourdough for like 15 minutes.
So long. So I'll say 5.
Okay.
Now, I really, really like her and I really like them. And I think you brought up a really interesting point. Anybody that watches the interaction with them or watched them last night, that's the couple that you want to hang out with for sure. They got great senses of humor. You can tell how genuinely much they care about each other. The chemistry is fantastic. They would just be so fun to hang out with at a dinner party or at dinner. 100% in. I just wanted more of that.
I'm curious what you didn't get out of the podcast that you wish you had known after an hour and a half.
Okay, you raise a really interesting point, so here's what I'm going to do later, okay?
I'm going to think about it.
Here's what I'm going to do later. I'm going to bring Mikey in here.
Okay.
To play the part of Travis Kelce. And I want you to play the part of Taylor Swift. Kristen and I are going to form questions. If we were doing the interview last night, how different it would have sounded.
The two of us will become Jason Kelce.
Yes, we are the Kelce brothers.
Okay. No, just the one big hairy Kelce brother.
Well, we did get some really sweet details about their relationship. Things that we kind of already knew, but from the horse's mouth, if you will. Taylor Swift did detail basically the shot heard, him shooting his shot around the world and what that was like from her, and to hear him ask her out on a date on a national podcasting platform.
Okay, so when you guys did the full send on the podcast.
Yes,
it was a full send. Yes.
And he was like, you want to date me? And everybody heard it. It was the shooting your shot heard around the world.
Yes.
Basically, everyone who likes you, which is a lot of people, started reaching out to everyone who knows me.
There we go.
I think it was like Andy was vouching for you. I think it was my relatives, my cousins were like,
love you,
please,
Andy.
please. He's amazing. There were friends that were like, he's actually an amazing guy. Like, he's so great. There was a lot of kind of people whispering in my ear about you. And I actually, that's not normal. Like, yeah. It's not normal. There are people just willing to go to bat for you and be like, you don't understand. This guy's incredible.
Oh, well, Andy, well done.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
And Scott. Everything. And Scott, thank you.
Scott's her dad.
I will say that was one of the highlights for me right there. Give me that insight right there. I thought that was fantastic.
The highlight for me was this specific moment where Travis is talking about the first time he saw Taylor. And I feel like for girls in relationships, like that's the story they want to hear over and over again. Like when you saw me for the first time, like what was going through your head? And Travis really recounted that the first time he really felt like, oh my God, I want to ask this woman out was at the Eras Tour.
If I would have never gone to that show and been mesmerized and just been captivated.
Yeah.
And then left with such a desire to want to meet you. I would have never went on here and told everybody how butthurt I was. Yeah, I'd never just been so engulfed in the curiosity of who you were.
Oh, that's really cool. Really, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
But it's like you see you on the stage and you see how crazy you can get an entire stadium going. And then... I get you in a room and it's like, I've known you forever. It's like, it was just the easiest conversation I ever had. And it was just so much fun that it just, knocked my socks off from what they say.
Knocked your socks off.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's, I felt she the blew same me exact away. Way
and
about
I,
you.
I had never experienced something so mesmerizing on stage and then so real and so beautiful in person.
He called her mesmerizing.
So Abby,
captivating.
As we're doing the live last night, Abby almost started crying. I saw you start to get that red nose and the cheeks were starting to get a little red.
It was so beautiful. When I joined the live, I wasn't listening to anything Taylor, Travis, or Jason was saying because I was just watching Abby and I said, y'all need to find you somebody that looks at you the way that Abby looks at Taylor and Travis.
Seriously, like, how long have we been working together now?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. This is the most locked in on anything I have ever seen Abby to a point where I'm like, I said to Amanda, who was doing it with me last night, I said to her, she's so annoyed that she has to do this right now. She just so wants to be like watching this and loving it. I'm like, she's so annoyed right now.
When are you going to rewatch it today?
Yeah, today after the show.
To get everything that I missed.
It's the Burt Show.
If I was forced to go back to college and actually finish and get my degree at San Diego State, and they asked me, you got to write a thesis in order for you to get that diploma, I think I know what it would be on. It would be on how sports can change your mood and why. Like, where does that come from, right? And this is all going to sort of include the Taylor Swift thing last night. But I was so excited this morning. I came in here, right? And I grew up in San Diego, and when you grow up in San Diego, you are groomed to hate everything Los Angeles, right? I hate the Los Angeles Dodgers like they had an affair with my mother. I hate them so much. I hate everything Los Angeles, right? So as a Padres fan, we're a small little itty-bitty small market team, right? And the Dodgers, they just spend all this cash on all their players, right? And they get the best players. And the Padres down south, my team, little bitty guys, barely even have a chance ever to beat them. And this morning, the Padres are in first place in the National League West, one game over the Dodgers, and it changed my mood this morning. Like, I woke up kind of stressed, and then I saw that, and I'm like, oh, we're one game on top of the Dodgers right now. It's fantastic.
You actually walked in here with a little additional pep in your step.
I did. I even said, hey, I know you guys have been waiting about for this, so I just want to let you know, because you were distracted last night with Taylor, Padres are in first place. And it was met with this.
It was not.
Silence.
It was not.
It was not met with silence.
We both said we are very happy for you and your team, and it seems like you are very happy about this, therefore we will be happy for you.
Here's the thing, though. Forget about Padres and Dodgers and stuff, even though I hate it. I'm more like, there are some times where I feel like I would rather the Dodgers lose than the Padres win. Like, anybody beat the Dodgers. Even if my team doesn't win a championship, I just don't want it to be the Dodgers. But it can change your mood. Like, with Florida and Kentucky right now,
for sure,
you guys are going to have to dig a little bit deeper because it's been a while since you guys have had these experiences with your teams. But
hey, our basketball team just won the national championship.
That is true. That is true. That's a bad joke. I did forget about that. But isn't it fascinating how you don't know these kids? I mean, yeah, you went to the school and stuff, mm-hmm. but they've never helped you study. They have never helped your parents move, right? And you're so invested in the players and the team itself. Like, it becomes... Stacey called me delusional last week when we were at UGA, right? We were up in Athens and I was moving Hollis in with Stacey, my ex-wife, and we were talking about UGA, and I've become such a big UGA fan since I moved here. Remember, I never went to the school, right? And we were talking to one of his friends whose girlfriend is going to Tennessee, and I mentioned that song that I hate so much where the Georgia, it's a country song where the Georgia fan, starts to wear Tennessee orange because her boy.
No, Megan Maroney, Tennessee Orange for him or something like that.
Oh, that one.
I hate that song so much because what a sellout, man. You were a Georgia fan, a guy comes along, and then you start wearing Tennessee Orange. I was furious. And Stacey goes, you know you're delusional. You never even went to the school. And she's right.
There is that aspect of it. At least Abby and I can say we have degrees from the schools that we root for.
I agree. It's a different level, man. But for 20 years, I've been rooting for Georgia, so I feel such a loyalty to them that she's like, you're an idiot. You're so delusional.
I'm not sure if I thought maybe you would grow out of it a little bit. Now, I do remember being rabid as a Kentucky fan when I was younger. Like, there were instances where I cried. Like, I actually cried during losses during the NCAA tournament, right? And also tears of joy when we won. And absolutely, it not only affected the mood, like, it affected the entire campus.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You could feel it on campus. But as I've gotten older, it doesn't hit the same because... There's just this other thing called life that that kind of takes away from that.
Now, Bart has a very fulfilling life also.
Yes.
Right? But he feels the same way I do.
Oh, my God. His mood is so affected when Kentucky loses.
Right.
I remember, I remember when I told you about this. This is a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament, and we've had some poor showings for sure. This was a game we should have won. It got down to the wire. My man literally after the game left the house barefoot and started walking down the street to cool off because he was so upset.
Are you
kidding? It's like pitch black because it's those late night games, like a 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. tip off, and Kentucky loses to whomever. I don't remember who they lost to. He will remember who they lost to.
Mm-hmm.
He will remember the score of the game, but he was so upset.
Yes, man.
And then he came back and he just sat in the front yard in his bare feet, just like slumped over, just so dejected. And I'm like, we might need to get you in to see a therapist.
I told you guys before, when I lived in Dallas for 2 years, that city is so crazy about the Cowboys that I could tell on Monday morning by the tone of the city if the Cowboys won or lost on Sunday. The entire city was the same way.
Wow. I mean, the thing is about sports is I love it more for the social aspect. Like, if we win, I'm there. I want to be in the crowd. I want to go to the bars afterwards. I want to be a part of it. But, like, if they lose, I don't care. What is it? What does an 18-year-old who has never met me in his life have to do with me and my mood?
It will affect me in the middle of the night. Like, I'll wake up upset that my team lost in the last couple of seconds. Or it's the first thought that I'll have when I get up. Like, dang it. Why didn't blank, blank, blank? It was a 42-yard field goal. It's the first thought I'll have in the morning.
The only thing we would cheer about when I was at Florida, because our team sucked when I was there, was just when our rankings would go up on the U.S. News best collegiate rankings. We were like, woohoo, we won something.
Was that for partying or was that for...
No, for being smart.
Read it again.
We were like, oh my God, we're finally a top 5 public university. Yay, we won something.
So as a sports fan here, I found it interesting last night during the interview, the New Heights podcast with Taylor Swift, how she has sort of been making the transition from not knowing anything about sports at all to knowing like who the Chiefs were drafting, and then telling Travis Kelce like how excited she was by the new player that they just got.
I didn't know what a first down was. I didn't know what the chains were. I didn't know what a tight end was.
I am forever thankful for you diving into the football world wholeheartedly.
Oh my God. I fell in love with it. I became obsessed with it. I became like a person who was running through the halls of my house screaming, we drafted Xavier Worthy. And my friends are like, what What is, who body snatched you? This is, what do you mean?
I loved that part of the interview last night, man.
It just goes to show, like, you really adopt your partner's traits and interests when you, yes, when you're truly in love. Like, I'm sure she is excited that they got Xavier Worthy. I'm assuming he's a good player.
Yes, he's very
but
good.
Really, like, I think what that deep down says is, like, I'm so excited for my boyfriend, mm-hmm, who is on this team and how good that's going to be for him and the rest of his teammates.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I feel like that is a fine line, right? Because I have known women who have completely lost themselves in who their partner was and became everything about their partner. Whereas in this instance, I feel like your interests are so important to you, they've now become my interest and vice versa. So I see this as like her not, as long as you don't give away everything of yourself to become like their, you know, to absorb everything that they're into. Because I have known women and friends who have done that. Like they've completely just cast aside who, mm-hmm, they are, mm-hmm, just to be interested in everything their man's interested in here. And here I'm like, okay, so she didn't know anything about football, but her man's an NFL player. Yeah. And in order to find that, to have that bond, she got into it. And you can tell it's genuine. It's not forced. But you also see it from his side as far as like attending all of her concerts, uh-huh, and the friendship bracelets and getting in on the Swiftie lore. Mm-hmm. So I feel here it's balanced, but there is a fine line there of where you like completely discard everything about yourself just to become everything your man is.
Well, it's reciprocated. Like she is on his sports podcast talking about her, you know, girly, mm-hmm, pop sparkly album, and he learned the word esoteric for her.
Right.
He knows big words now all because of his girlfriend.
Seriously.
Like she learns about Xavier Worthy and what a first down is, and he gets to know what the word engulfed means.
She made sure that his knuckles weren't dragging on the ground anymore.
Exactly.
She did that for him.
She educated him. We love that for him.
This is The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Gen Xers, I'm afraid it's gone now, and it is time to honor it and say goodbye. Will you hear this sound when you are trying to dial up internet? Still works. Bring it down. Bring it down. I can't take it.
It's the end of an era. Do you remember like where you were the first time you heard that sound?
I absolutely do. Well, AOL announced a couple of days ago that their dial-up internet service is shutting down. Abby, do you even know that sound?
Yes, no. It was so dramatic. And for what? Because you could always connect to the internet, but it'd always give you a hard time and scream about it. Like, it was going to get you to the internet, but it wasn't going to be happy about it.
So, yes, I do remember. And then we'll go into we'll walk down memory lane for a second here. But yeah, Stacy and I had an apartment in Alexandria, Virginia. And I had a little itty-bitty office set up in our, like, studio apartment in the right corner of our living room, and that's where I did my work. And every day I had to sign on to AOL and get into my AIM, get into my messages,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
And every single time I had to use that, so I was on it all the time. And whenever she had to make a call, I think I remember I had to sign off, didn't
I? Uh-huh. Yeah. Somebody couldn't be on the phone and on the internet at the same time. So do you remember your username? Because I remember mine.
Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed.
Okay.
It was the same as my vanity license plate.
You had a... What?
You paid extra for a vanity license plate?
What?
It's going to get worse.
How have I known you for 14 years and I'm just finding out that you had a vanity license plate? That is so it.
That matched my AOL screen name.
Oh, my God.
It's going to get worse. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'll just spell it for you. Oh, I don't even want to.
He's so embarrassed.
I'm so embarrassed. Okay, I'm going to spell it.
Okay.
Remember, I was doing morning radio, as I am now.
Oh, my God.
M-A-K-U-L-A-F.
Make you laugh?
I'm so embarrassed. I'm so incredibly embarrassed.
No, how did you ever get laid?
I don't know. I really... I don't know.
Mine is not nearly as bad now. Oh, my God.
If so you guys want to call up right now, if you got time and you want to share like your embarrassing screen name back in the day, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, that'd be fun.
I don't know if I could look at you the same way anymore.
That's why in all these years that we've been working together, I have never brought it up.
You have never mentioned that make you laugh.
Might have had two F's, actually.
Yeah, that tracks.
Somehow that's worse.
It is. Yeah. So we had a computer room in the house, and it was just like a random room with the family computer in it. And that's where you would go, and you would hear that dial-up, and then mom would come in because she needed to call some like cousin, uncle, aunt, friend to gossip about like whatever. So then you'd have to, or somebody would pick up the phone and it would kick you off. So mine was not nearly as bad as yours. Daisy04, DAZEEY04. But the time we used it the most for the AIM and the messengers and then the chat rooms and stuff like that, I would go spend the night at Sherry Hamlin's house in middle school because her parents did not watch us at all. And she had a hot tub. So we would hang out in the hot tub and then we would go to her room and we'd like dial up and you'd hear that sound and we'd log on and we'd go into chat rooms and we would chat with men and oh yeah. And then we would get like so giddy. I think I printed out some of the correspondence so I could keep it like as a diary. But
which could have been evidence.
Yeah.
Some call it a diary, some call it evidence.
Yeah. And so, but those were like my fondest memories of AOL. But my God, Herbert Weiss.
Oh, I got another one for you also. The calls are coming in to make it sound even better. But my former, whose name was Tiffany, when she was like 13 years old, was online also. And because her name was Tiffany and her parents, when they were driving, she would see Jiffy Lubes all over the place.
No, she didn't.
At 13 years old, used Tiffy Lube.
No.
It was innocent. She just didn't know.
She had no clue.
She had no clue. Yes. Hey, Miranda, thank you for calling. Your ridiculous screen name back in the day.
Baby got a booty.
Baby got a booty.
Miranda, how old were you when you came up with Baby Got a Booty?
Probably 12.
Oh my God. Baby got a booty at 12 years old.
Man. I mean, you did.
Thank you for calling. Emily, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. If you want to be.
Emily.
Oh, hey, sorry.
Hey.
Burt, just to make you feel better, mine was actually Love to Laugh.
Love to Laugh. Oh, we should have been driving side by side on the road.
We
could have organized a carpool.
Like, if you guys would have ended up in the same chat room, like, that could have been destiny for Make You Laugh and Love to Laugh.
So, just walking down memory lane here, and I'm reading from this article. It was back in the 90s. Remember, it was America Online at first, and they shortened it to AOL in 2006. Yeah, you would sign on and hear this again. I'm not playing it in its entirety. That's good. That was also the sound of the fax machine, wasn't it?
Similar. Not quite the same, but similar.
And then do you remember the online CDs?
Oh, yeah.
So they came to you in the mail. They were a CD, and you got a certain amount of hours, like 100 free hours, and then you had to purchase it, right? Mm-hmm.
You had to pay for access to the internet.
You had to pay for it, and this was the statistic that kind of blew me away. They've canceled it now, so it's not around, but 160,000 Americans were still using dial-up in 2023. About 0.1% of internet connections. I didn't realize there was anybody.
I had no idea it was still a thing.
If I had to sign onto the internet every single day still using that, I would never get onto the internet.
Oh, my God, no. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
It's terrible. But AOL, dial-up, he's gone.
See you later. Never.
This is The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Even though this is the biggest story in entertainment right now, I am giving you permission that if this is too much Taylor Swift, that you get to pull the plug at any time.
I feel like yesterday and today, because in the pop culture world at least, this is the only thing anybody is talking about. And I also think with the serious stuff that's going on in the world, I like this as a distraction.
Okay, I love that for us.
Yeah, I do.
Because I do think in this commentary I'm about to give you that Taylor Swift absolutely could have written Romeo and Juliet, but Shakespeare could have never written the 31-track Tortured Poets Department, the anthology. And I'm going to prove it to you because Taylor Swift's 12th album that is coming out, The Life of a Showgirl, actually is a commentary and this is the theory, a commentary on Hamlet. And she is drawing parallels to herself by the tragic character Ophelia. And it has everything to do with the first track and the cover of the album. Now, have you guys seen the cover of TS12, The Life of a Showgirl?
That is the one, because she shared a lot of images yesterday, but that's the one with her slightly submerged in water with her face popping out.
Yes. Okay. So this is kind of a scandalous first photo. Like, I feel like she's normally very buttoned up. I mean, the last album was a little bit scandalous, but she never really shows too much. She always does, if she's doing something sexy, it's always very tasteful. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really show a lot of skin. There were some photos where I was like, Mom,
yeah.
I think you need to cover up a little bit. But even though it's a very risque photo, a lot of people are drawing comparisons to the cover art and this painting that is of the tragic Shakespearean character Ophelia. And the only reason we're doing that is A, because it looks very, very similar, but secondly, because the first track on the album is literally titled The Fate of Ophelia. And the first track is typically kind of the thesis statement for what the theme of the album will be. And so if you're wondering, oh my God, who's Ophelia? What's her fate? Why is this such a big deal? Well, she's the tragic character in the play Hamlet. And basically, Ophelia's story is a tragic, tragic end. She ends up drowning in a pond or something, which is why that painting shows Ophelia. And then also Taylor Swift's cover is her in water. It's a photo of her drowning and her face kind of half submerged. And basically, Ophelia's fate is to descend into madness, where she would sing strange songs, she would speak in riddles, and she would just died because she was so overwhelmed by grief. So it's going to be an assumption that this entire album will be some kind of commentary on how she feels like she is like that character.
No, that's a theory, not something she shared on the New Heights podcast.
Yes, but I mean, you know, it's a good theory.
It is a great theory. So, but what we do know as fact, the album, we've seen the album cover. Mm-hmm. We know the name of the album, Life of a Showgirl. We know it's coming out October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
10 plus 3 is 13.
It's also National Boyfriend Day.
Oh, come on. Is it really?
Yeah.
Come on.
And she even said in the podcast, she's a big fan of numerology. So she's admitted to picking certain dates because she feels like it means a certain thing.
And then, so she released a track list?
She released a track list. Of course, in typical Taylor Swift fashion, she's not going to give us any music until then. Lame. But she also did explain the actual meaning behind the color orange, which is what's being associated with this album. A lot of people felt like it was because of Travis's association to the Chiefs and how they are red and gold. And if you mix the two, it's orange.
That's no.
But it's actually something else.
So what is the significance of the color orange? Why orange?
I've just always liked it, Jason. It really so feels like, I don't know. It feels like kind of energetically how my life has felt. And this album is about what was going on behind the scenes in my inner life during this tour, which was so exuberant and electric and vibrant.
I found one of the things I found most fascinating of like the little bit that I did watch on, you know, Abby's live watch party for the New Heights podcast with Taylor Swift was that she recorded this album while she was on the Eras tour. Mm-hmm. So she was in Europe performing. And then during the small break she had between cities, she'd fly to
Sweden,
crazy,
record music and then fly back to whatever European city and then perform again. That work ethic is insane.
Yeah, you don't get to be Taylor Swift's level of fame and success without a work ethic like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, stories like that have got to be so many that we don't even know about.
And she just does it because she genuinely loves it. And I think just what's so cool is she's describing this album as like life behind the curtain. She's like, the reason why I chose me in a bathtub is like, that's me at the end of every night, like sort of floating there, trying to recover after a couple hours of physical therapy because I got to do things, you know, the next night after and the next night after. And I think it's going to be a really cool commentary. Apparently, it's going to be all bangers, according to her. All 12 tracks are going to be very pop and upbeat. And she flew to Sweden so she could work with Max Martin and Shellback, who have put out some of the most iconic pop music of all time. I mean, Hit Me Baby One More Time from Britney Spears, Moves Like Jagger from Shellback, and also worked on the 1989 album with her, which are just banger after banger after banger. And hearing her talk about how proud she is of this album, it's like, I'm getting excited about it because it's like Michelangelo going, this is what I'm most proud of. So I can't wait to see why she is the most proud of this track list.
One of the things about this record is like, it's a record I made with my mentor, Max Martin and Shellback. And the three of us have made some of my favorite songs that I've ever done before.
Which ones, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, they were my main collaborators on the Red album. We did We Are Never Getting Back Together, I Knew You Were Trouble, 22, Shake It Off, Blank Space, Style, Wildest Dreams.
Oh, hell yes.
you know, ready for it.
So that's the energy we're going with. Yes, I understand why it's orange now. Okay.
So, yeah, we've made songs that I'm so proud of.
There's going to be bangers. Yes, I'm picking it up.
Dude, yeah, it's
I'm
like
telling
that.
You it's 12.
Yeah, it's like that. And so basically, we've never actually made an album before where it's just the three of us. There's no other collaborators. It's just the three of us making a focused album where, I mean, it felt like catching lightning in a bottle, honestly. Yeah.
I made this prediction, Abby, in studio earlier, and I'll say it here publicly and keep it, right? Because I'm sure it's going to happen. So there's so much time between now and the album coming out on October 3rd.
October 3rd, National Boyfriend Day.
God, look at that. I remembered that. I am becoming a Swiftie.
You are! Right?
That I think that we will hear leaks mm-hmm. from the album and different songs before then. There's just too much. Yeah, I do.
Absolutely not.
No. Okay.
The only time I can remember her track list getting leaked, like the actual music, was a day or two before Midnights. Everything else is always kept very under wraps. She has a good team. She is Taylor Swift.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.